to keep their chin up. Anybody have trouble keeping your chin up these days?
Yeah.
You can be honest. You better be honest. You're in God's house. Sometimes it's hard for us to keep our chin up these days. But the church still has the calling to be alive and to be empowered.
Yes.
And even though the situations and circumstances around us are discouraging, sometimes we feel defeated, bombarded, a lot of the times we do, the church still has not lost its power unless we allow it to happen.
Amen. That's right.
It is our job for us to be alive and empowered and equipped.
Yes.
In our lifetime, in my lifetime, I've never been at a place in my personal walk with Christ that today is the time in which we should be operating at maximum potential.
Amen. You're right. Yes.
You say, oh my goodness, how can we operate at maximum potential when every day is a fight, every day is a struggle? We have to.
Right.
We have to. It has to be a priority. I've never felt such an urgency in my spirit that I better be closer to God right now than I ever have been in my entire life.
Yeah. Yes.
The body of Christ needs to be fully equipped and ready. When I say the body of Christ, I mean the church as a whole. Not just this body of Christ, but the church as a whole needs to be equipped and ready. However, today, God's called me to speak to this particular unit of the body here at Trinity. So if the church is to be alive, empowered, and ready, then the body should not let the world dictate our calling. Government, politics, used to look to the church for guidance. Mm-hmm. Now we look to the government for guidance, which was a big mistake.
Right.
God is our guidance. Mm-hmm. His word is what we live by.
Right.
His word is what we die by. His word is the only thing that will last forever.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Over 100,000 people, and I'll get to my text here in just a second, but over 100,000 people die every year around the world as a martyr for their faith. Can you believe that?
Think about it.
Not here.
Yeah.
We're sitting in a warm, comfortable church house this morning. Not one of us was scared that the military would come in, or you'd have to give your life in order to go to church today. And America should never think that they are exempt from persecution. And I'm not prophesying that this is going to come to our nation, but I am saying that we better be blood-bought, spirit-filled, child of God, committed to being a church that's alive and empowered.
Amen.
How on earth do we do that? Well, let me tell you something. The church as a whole, Christians as a whole, canceling prayer meetings, church services out of fear, but yet going to Walmart, to the mall, you can't get alive and empowered through that.
Exactly. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, try it.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes, there's sickness. Yes, there should be intelligence and wisdom given. But let me tell you what, church, if we justify, if anybody justifies canceling a prayer meeting or putting their relationship with God on the back seat and yet participating in all this other stuff, you better do a heart check.
Right.
And Jesus, in every gospel, was all about doing a heart check.
Right. Amen.
He was not necessarily as concerned about what you do and what you don't do, but he says, where's it coming from?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, that leads me to our topic today. One in which I was supposed to teach on a Sunday night. And so we're going to make it a Sunday morning and a Sunday night teaching type message too. But it's on the gift of tongues and interpretation. We've been doing the gifts on Sunday evenings. So this one is a very, very broad subject. The gift of tongues and interpretation. There's no way that I can get to it in the amount of attention span that you have this morning. So I'm going to spread it out in this morning and tonight, and hopefully we will hit the highlights. Okay?
Amen.
Now, we do need every gift operating in the church.
Yes.
Remember I said, and it's on the screen, the church alive and empowered
yes.
does not mean that we only speak in tongues
right.
and have the gift of interpretation.
Right.
God give various gifts to each who He wills.
Right.
And it's important that we as a church seek out every gift so the body of Christ can function as God wants it to.
Right.
But these are the two that I was asked to teach, so that's going to be my focus today. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Surprise, surprise, you knew that's where I'm going. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 to begin with, and then I will recap the rest of the chapter. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. If you'd stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues or cloven tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Father, we love you. Once again, we're so thankful to be in your house today. God, I pray that you would open your word to our hearts. Let our minds, our ears be receptive so that our hearts are changed and challenged. Let it go forth, God, as you would intend. Let Chris get out of the way. Let the Holy Spirit do the leading, and I will follow. Convict us today, God.
Yes, Lord. Grant it, Jesus.
Lord, we want to be a church that's alive and empowered and fully equipped, even in this day in which we live. And so, God, I ask today that you will stir our hearts. God, and then it, just not that we're stirred, Lord, but then we're changed. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name, God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled the house where they were sitting. Then it appeared to them, cloven tongues as a fire, and stood upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Hey, as Pentecostals, if there's any four verses that we emphasize, it's these four.
Yeah.
Right? Let me tell you what happened in the rest of the chapter, though. After this happened, the crowd that heard them responded. Then Peter preached a sermon of his lifetime. After that, there was thousands that made a commitment to follow Christ. And after that, the church grew. They experienced growth. So again, let me state the obvious. There's a lot to cover in these two gifts this morning and this evening. So again, I'm going to hit the main points and the highlights. You take notes. There's a place for you to take notes on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to do that. I want to also tell you this morning that everything I say today, though it may be from my perspective, I'm going to give you as much scripture to back up what I say as I possibly can. For sake of time, I won't read all the scriptures, but I will definitely give you the reference. And you may need to go back and study it for yourself in your own personal time. There's a lot of this that's going to be very simplistic. How many of you have been raised in a Pentecostal, charismatic, Spirit-filled type church your entire life? Let me see your hand. Definitely the majority. So some of this may be seen very simplistic to you. There are some of you that could probably get up here and teach this a lot better than I can. However, regardless, we should all take some notes and we should study it in our own personal time.
Yes, amen.
Hey, we can't take what media and news say to us for heart. We got to search it out the best we can. Mm-hmm. Same way with God's Word. We need to study because the Bible says study to show yourself approved unto
yes.
God.
Amen.
A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, how does Acts chapter 2 begin? With unity. They were all in one accord. They were all in one mind, some versions say. So I make the case, unless you are unified in Christ, this gift cannot operate in your life. Okay? Salvation is a prerequisite to any gift.
Amen. Right.
Not just this one. However, I personally don't believe that the Holy Ghost would have made his entrance that day in the upper room had they not been in unity.
Right. Amen.
Scripture says, suddenly. Well, suddenly what? Suddenly they experience three signs. The first two deals with two key senses, hearing and sight. They heard the wind and they saw the fire.
Right.
However, the third sign, and the most significant in this passage, was they began to speak with other tongues.
Right.
Now, on this first occasion in Acts chapter 2, some people do recognize the language, and so it forms a bridge into Peter's sermon. Thus, he's able to give the sermon just like it was anointed.
Yeah.
That was how it bridged the gap. Remember, they were amazed, perplexed, some even mocked, right?
Yeah.
But they say, oh, these men are drunk.
Yeah.
Their response, no, they're not drunk as you suppose. It's early in the day.
Right.
Evidently, they say that till the evening back in those days. Says, no, they're not drunk. So why? Because there were those speaking languages that were not in their native tongue, yet they understood. That is a miraculous sign.
Yes.
I'm going to take a stab here and say, if someone come in here speaking Portuguese, I would guess the majority of us would have no clue what they're saying. There may be some intelligent multi-languages out there that I'm not sure of. But however, everyone heard this message in their native tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And it bridged the gap for Peter to preach. Now in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ dominates those books.
Right.
Okay? But in Acts, the Holy Ghost is the highlight. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus speaking, You shall receive power after. After what? After the Holy Ghost is poured out on you. This empowerment equips us to do what He's called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
So now, what is the gift of tongues specifically? Well, two physical attributes are related to the gift. The tongue, which is the muscle in your mouth, which Scripture also says no man can tame.
Right.
The strongest muscle in your body.
Mm-hmm.
The one that can hurt, the one that can kill, but yet the one that can build up, the one that can encourage,
yeah,
and the one that can strengthen.
Right.
God decides to use this gift with that muscle. The other is the language that's spoken. Both of these, the muscle in your mouth, your tongue, and the language come together in Acts chapter 2, where the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. We've all heard that, as the Spirit gave utterance. What does that mean? As the Spirit gave them the ability to speak out loud and enunciate utterance. So the Holy Ghost is available to all who believe. If Jesus Christ has washed you, your sins, you have asked Him to come into your heart and your life, you believe that He is the Lord and the Savior of your life, He says you are saved and you are available for the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen.
That's possible. So now we know and we understand what happened in Acts chapter 2. There was a purpose for what happened in Acts chapter 2. But after Acts chapter 2, there are a few other chapters in Acts where it talks about speaking in tongues. But now let's go to Corinthians, where Paul addresses its function and guidelines for use in the church. We are not back in Acts chapter 2 anymore. We are here today, January the 24th. 2021. Can you believe that? And the gift of tongues and interpretation is still as relevant and as real today as it was back then. There is no scriptural basis that the Holy Ghost or that gift died when the apostles died. Okay? Now, even though that theology is out there, there's no scriptural basis for it. I've never been able to find one. But I feel prompted to say this morning. Just because someone doesn't believe it doesn't give us reason to think that they are not saved. Or to think that they're not going to make heaven. Cammie had a grandpa who was 101 when he passed away. I believe Arthur. That was Arthur. He was way up there. He was a Church of Christ man. I can remember him sing. He'd sing under his breath. He was 101. Couldn't hear and see very well. He could pray and he could sing. Didn't believe in the Holy Ghost, but he was saved. Speaking in tongues is not a prerequisite in order for you to make heaven. Okay? I think it's clear. It is an empowerment that as Christians, we should want. I want everything God has to give me.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I do. So it's something we should want, something that we should ask God for and pursue and seek for, but it's important that you're not critical of others who don't. I'll give you a scripture basis for that later. Okay? Alright. Lost my place. So, let's address its function in the church. I want to start by addressing those functions from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and do not have charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." If you do not love, church, if we do not love, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, or any other gift is completely useless. You cannot not love your brother and sister.
Right.
Hey, Holy Ghost makes you speak in tongues, might make you shout, dance, depending on whatever. I'm going to tell you what, that's not the only thing the Holy Ghost does. And if you don't have love, it's useless. And it means nothing. And honestly, can I be blunt? Thank you. We're hypocritical when we do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Love has to be the basis and the foundation. The Bible is very clear. Jesus himself is very clear that love must be our motivation for everything.
Yes.
The gift of tongues is the Spirit-given ability to speak in a language or languages which are either known to the speaker, according to Acts chapter 2, or heavenly and needs the gift of interpretation to be effective or to edify. We hear that. I'll back that up with 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So the language itself may or may not be understood by those who are listening. And I give you the scripture references for that. Some people may say, but why? What's the purpose? What's the why? Can we not have church without the Holy Ghost? Yeah, you can. You can. But I'm going to tell you what. I remember how I felt before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I know how I felt after I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So vanilla ice cream doesn't do it anymore for me. I want the chocolate and the cherry and everything else on top.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
It's just more. It's right. More of that. It's more of that power that God wants to give you. So the purpose of the gift of tongues, it's a spiritual gift given by God so that the church can function as he intended. Specifically, we see the purpose for the gift of tongues here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And it was to edify the church.
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all."
To profit, yes, sir.
To profit, to edify. Paul said that the spiritual gifts were intended for the common good. Peter went on to say that we should use our gifts to serve one another. So either way you look at it, from Paul's perspective or from Peter's perspective. Either way, it's to build up the body of Christ.
Right. Yes.
It's not that you can't be in Walmart or you can't be at the grocery store, wherever you may go, and speak in tongues. Hey, I'm not going to say anything about that. Maybe you may feel led to do that. However, this particular gift was given for the church to build it up and to edify it. Okay?
Yes.
So, another purpose evident in Scripture is to communicate truth. Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. They said, "We hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God." Yet another purpose is to fulfill prophecy of Joel chapter 2 according to Acts chapter 2. Let me read Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. But Peter, sorry Lisa, I'm driving Lisa crazy going through all this scripture. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Let me pause there for a second. Scripture does say that in the last days we're going to see a great revival. Joel says that your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. I'll continue that verse in just a second. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that in the last days the church is going to receive a mass explosion of attendance. He says, you're going to see my spirit poured out on you. You personally. We're going to see things that we normally don't see. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservants, maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So, another purpose of that is to fulfill the prophecy of Joel chapter 2. How many of you knows that God makes sure that His word is fulfilled? Every I has been dotted, every T has been crossed. What He says will happen, regardless if the most spiritual person we can think of gives up and throws in the towel, God's word will still stand. And it will still come to pass. It's also used to authenticate the presence, the ministry, and the work of the Holy Ghost according to Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. It's important that we note that speaking in tongues, especially in the book of Acts, did not always accompany the conversion of most believers in the early church, nor does Scripture designate it as a sign of true saving faith. I did not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I got saved. I was 7 years old when I got saved. I remember, Sister Brenda, I remember the cold, hard, concrete floor in Springdale, where I got down and I gave my heart and my life to God. And 7 years later, I was by myself when the pastor then had given the altar call. I gave my heart and life to God without anybody around me. Fast forward 7 more years, we were in the church on Tulsa Street. And I was 14. We had old wooden altars, but at least there was carpet on the floor. It wasn't cold. I wasn't by myself that day. I had 2 or 3 of the old praying saints. Those ladies were around me. Since so many of you said, yeah, I've been raising this. I had one yelling in my ear, "Come on, let go." Another one, "Come on, get it. It was a very intense situation that happened at the altar that I will also never forget. And hadn't been the same since. However, Scripture doesn't say that you get saved and then you're going to get the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many of you that's happened to. I don't know anyone personally that was saved and at the same time received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it can happen. But Scripture doesn't say that it's a requirement again. In other words, there's no place in Scripture that you're required to speak in tongues to make heaven. Okay? We've got those who've been in this your whole life. We have those sitting in our church house today that have never been raised in church or have been raised in another doctrine, and they don't know. So apologies to you that this is simplistic. Sometimes it's important that we understand the basics.
Right.
Okay? It is not required for you to speak in tongues to make heaven. This gift is also not set apart from the other gifts, even though sometimes more emphasis is placed on it, especially in Spirit-filled churches.
Right.
There seems to be an emphasis on speaking in tongues, but this is not set apart from any of those other gifts. While every believer has the Holy Spirit, I think this is important to note here too, because sometimes this can become confusing. Every believer, once you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, that Holy Spirit is given to you at salvation. But not every believer speaks in tongues, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So upon salvation, you receive God's Spirit. He is with you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Everybody follow me. You receive God's Spirit upon salvation. An outpouring of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, is another experience. Thank you. Yet another purpose of the gift of tongues is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. Now listen to this carefully. Paul says that one who speaks in tongues builds himself up or edifies himself. So that means that there is a spiritual strengthening that comes from the act of speaking in tongues.
Yes.
This is reiterated in Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 when he says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So there is something to be said, and there is spiritual strengthening that comes from the act of speaking in tongues. There are times when I'm in my own prayer time that I get along with God. And yes, there are times that I begin to pray in tongues. Okay? Mm-hmm. There is a difference when you come and a body of believers are gathered together and God decides to use the gift of tongues and interpretation in a church service.
Right.
When I'm in my own time, driving down the road, listening to worship music, and I just become so overwhelmed by God's Spirit, maybe I begin to speak in tongues. I'm building myself up in my own holy faith, according to Jude chapter 1.
Yeah. Amen.
That's different than in speaking in tongues in a church. Let me get to that. It's important to remember that although spiritual gifts can be personally edifying, and they can, especially this one, they were not given so that we can use them on ourselves.
Right.
They were given so that we could encourage and build each other in our faith. Mm-hmm. Why do you say that? I say that because Jesus said in Matthew 20 and verse 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
Yes.
And to give His life a ransom for many. He didn't come for Himself. He come for you. So are the gifts given to the church. So don't ever forget that. This leads me to the next section. There are biblical guidelines for speaking in tongues in a public gathering of believers.
Yes.
Number one. Are you bored yet?
No.
Sorry.
Good stuff.
Number one. The number of individuals which may speak in tongues is limited to two or at most three. You'll find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27. It says, if any speak in a tongue, let there only be two, or at most three. Before I go any further, let me remind you of something. I think I say this almost every time I'm up here, or whether I'm teaching on Wednesday night, whatever it may be. I think I say this, but I think it's that important. At least for me it is. Whenever I come up to a scripture that I don't like, or I don't agree with, or my lifestyle doesn't match, okay, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. If I come up on a scripture that I don't agree with, or that my lifestyle doesn't match, I have to assume that I am wrong.
Yes, yes, amen.
Hey, this Bible right here, it is 100% undeniably accurate.
Yes, sir.
It is the living, breathing, life-changing Word of God, and it is not up for negotiations.
Right. Amen.
If there is one thing in our life, church, that we can stand on, it's this right here.
Yes, sir.
If they bar the doors out front, you better have this in your heart.
Amen.
If they come and take it out of your home and say, burn the books, burn the Bibles, whatever, I'm not prophesying that that's going to happen. I'm saying this is the only thing that you can stand on.
Yeah.
The only thing that you can stand on.
Exactly.
Hey, they're making us compromise lots and lots of things in our world today. This is not one of those things that can be compromised.
Amen.
We either believe every single word of it or don't believe it at all.
Right. Yeah.
Totally up to you. It's either completely accurate or it's not. But it is. And this is what we have to live by. Regardless of what our world tries to change. Regardless if it's politically correct or not. It is the truth.
Amen.
Hey, regardless if it hurts our feelings. Regardless if we don't like it. It's the only truth. You have to believe it all.
Yeah.
You can't pick and choose.
Right.
So I said that to say this. There are biblical guidelines for speaking in tongues. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those guidelines aren't up for negotiations either.
Right.
This was God's Word, inspired by God Himself. So we go by God's Word. Number two, each individual must speak in turn. 1 Corinthians 14:27, kind of B, I'll say that in there again. Each individual must speak in turn. There should never be more than one person speaking in tongues at a time. But what if that happens? Anybody been in a service where that's happened before? Yeah, I have. Guess what? It's not new. Happened in the Corinthian church as well. This is why Paul's getting these guidelines.
Exactly.
I've been in a church gathering where that happens, and so did the Corinthian church. Verse 32 of chapter 14 gives us the answer to what happens then. It says, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The Holy Ghost does not take over a person's spirit to the point that they lose constraint.
Right. Amen.
Because 1 Corinthians 14:40 says that everything is to be done decently and in order.
Yes, sir.
So when someone or two or more begin to speak in tongues at one time in a church service, what does Scripture tell us to do? Somebody needs to yield. You are in control.
Right.
If I feel like I have a message in tongues for the church and I get it and somebody else speaks in tongues at the same time, I'm going to yield. That's what Scripture tells me to do.
Amen.
I'm going to yield. I'm going to love my brother or sister. And I'm going to yield.
Mm-hmm.
And God's not the author of confusion.
Right.
Satan likes to take those instances and make them confusing and cause division.
Right.
That's not God's purpose. So we need to be reminded that that's not a new thing. It also happened in Paul's day in Corinthians.
Right.
Each tongue, number three, must be interpreted for the edification of the church. If there is no one present with the gift of interpretations, 1 Corinthians 14:27 and 28 says that let each of them keep silence and speak to himself and to God. I would guess that the majority of you have been in a service here where tongues and interpretations. Actually, last Sunday we had a message in tongues interpretation. When the message in tongues go out, we are reverent. This is important that we should be teaching our youth as well.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost is reverent.
Yes.
God's Spirit is reverent.
Yes,
he
yes,
is
yes.
holy. We are to hush.
Yes.
It is not the time to write notes, get up and go to the bathroom.
Oh.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever distraction. Hey, God's Spirit is here.
Yes, sir.
He's revealing it, and He wants you to know something. And if
Amen.
We're not paying attention, we're going to miss it.
Yeah.
Thus, the edification or the building up of the body won't happen.
Right.
So it's important. When there's no interpreter, the Bible says, keep quiet, and pray to God.
Right. Yes.
That's pretty simple. Yeah. We make it so hard, don't we?
Yeah.
We make it so hard, but it's very simple. Just because two people speak at one time, or just because there is no interpreter, only means that it was not in harmony with God's will at that particular time, and we are all human.
Yeah, right. Yes,
we all make mistakes. Sometimes we miss God. Mm-hmm. I've missed God before. We all have. That's why Scripture says to remain silent and pray between you and God. Again, that's just Satan's desire to use instances like that to cause confusion. And God's not the author of confusion. So the answer's simple. Follow Scripture.
Right.
Now, 1 Corinthians 14:39 tells us not to forbid speaking in tongues. However, with that being said, each individual should submit themselves to the leadership of the elders, and they must yield to one another. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder, and all of you be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble."
Yes.
I'll get into this into detail in just a few moments. But listen, we are to yield ourselves in love to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay? Yielding to one another in love. For God resists the proud. Hey, you don't have to speak in tongues. If you feel like that you have just got to get a word out, first of all, your attitude's not right. Mm-hmm. Your spirit's not in right with Scripture. Mm-hmm. Okay? There is a time, there is a place. We are Pentecostal. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I'm thankful for what I feel when the Holy Ghost makes His presence known. Okay?
Right.
But there is an order in which we are to do it.
Yes, sir.
We yield. The principles of propriety and order must always govern the use of tongues in a church service. What on earth is the principles of propriety and order? It means that we are appropriate in our behavior and in our language. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "All things should be done decently and in order." Is the gift of the Holy Ghost important?
Yes, most definitely.
It absolutely is. Again, as I said at the beginning of this message, if you want more of God in your life, if you want more of that boldness, more of that courage, not arrogance. Arrogance is not boldness.
No.
Boldness is standing up for what's right. Gives you that what's that word Dad uses? Unction. Unction to function. It gives you that boldness to be able to witness to those who don't believe.
Right.
Okay? So there is a purpose. It's important. We should want it. But are all believers given the gift of tongues? Is it a requirement to be Pentecostal, charismatic, or another spirit-filled? The answer is absolutely not. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 30 says, "Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?" No. No. God has given different gifts to different people so that the body of Christ has everything it needs to function properly and grow. Can you imagine what amazing things God has in store for the body of Christ if every one of us lived in a way that our gifts and callings were utilized to their maximum potential? Can you imagine?
Yeah. Awesome.
It would be unreal. The gift of tongues is not a sign that we have reached any higher spiritual maturity or should be sought out as one. In fact, the church in which we're speaking of today about the tongues, that was most prevalent, which was the Corinthian church. And from scriptures that we're studying today, those members of the Corinthian church were rebuked by Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 for being fleshly, unloving, and immature.
Come on.
Okay? The Corinthian church flaunted the gift of tongues. And Paul also rebukes them for saying that you're fleshly, unloving, and immature. I think it's a good point to reiterate the fact that unless love is the basis in which we live and act out our Christian walk, nothing else matters.
Right. Yes.
Amen. You can preach, teach, sing, shout, speak in tongues, prophesy, whatever you want to do. But if you don't love, it's for nothing.
Right.
It means absolutely nothing. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'll use Dad's version again here, ear dingling. He says, sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Oh, Teresa, there's a tambourine scripture. Just found it. Just hit me. If I don't have love, maybe that's just a call for tambourines to be banned from church. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. He's saying, if you don't have love, there is nothing else that you can do and it mean anything. It's totally unprofitable. If I don't love each and every, even if I don't agree with everything you do, doesn't mean I don't love you.
Right.
And if I don't love you, I have no business up here.
Right.
And if you don't love me, we have to love one another.
Yes.
We are called to love one another.
Yes.
Speaking in tongues without love is an empty and ineffectual use of the gift. That chapter 13. 1 Corinthians concludes by saying, pursue love, but earnestly desire the spiritual gifts.
Yes.
So he tells us first, pursue love.
Uh-huh.
Second, he says, desire and earnestly seek for the spiritual gifts. Even though we are a spirit-filled church that believes in all the gifts, it's important that putting any excessive focus on any one gift, we will find ourselves in the same situation as the Corinthian church.
Right.
It was clear that they were so focused on speaking in tongues that they had neglected the other gifts. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. Paul rips them a new one. Excessive focus on any one gift leads to confusion, disorder, division, and pride.
Right.
One last thing on that. Some people believe that the gifts, and I mentioned this earlier, that the gifts ended when the apostles were all gone. And there is no biblical basis to support that. But I will say Romans chapter 14 puts something very clear. He said, if anything causes a division among you, or you to put a stumbling block in another's way, we are called to pursue peace and mutual upbuilding.
Mm-hmm.
That means don't make a big deal of it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to fight and argue over something like this. Because that's not love. The gift of interpreting tongues. I'm only going to hit on this one for just a few minutes because, first of all, there's not near as much said in Scripture about this one. But tonight, I hope to get into this a little bit more in detail. And also tonight, I hope that we'd like to have some time to where those who have that gift, have experienced that gift, can share, okay, how does that feel? How do I know? We've had several asks. How do I know if I have that gift? What am I supposed to do? So we're going to try to address that tonight. But chapters 12 and 14 of 1 Corinthians speak about a spiritual gift called the interpretation of tongues. This spiritual gift involved the supernatural ability to interpret the words of someone speaking in another language. 1 Corinthians 12 and 10 first mentions the interpretation of tongues as one spiritual gift among many. It is clear that every person would not have this gift, but that some do, and they were to use it for the encouragement of others. 1 Corinthians 14:5 highlights that the interpretation of tongues is a gift dependent upon someone first speaking in tongues. Okay? It's the only gift that's like that. The gift of interpretation of tongues readily is waiting for the gift of tongues to be used in order for it to be profitable. Okay? The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, according to 1 Corinthians 14, unless someone interprets so that the entire church may be built up. However, it is possible for some people to have the ability to both speak in tongues and interpret. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he interpret, according to 1 Corinthians 14:13. Those who had both gifts could better help the church by explaining what is said. Now, let me say this for a second. And I can say this from personal experience. When someone gives a message in tongues, I do not know what is being said. It was really great this week. I hope I don't embarrass Cameron when I say this. Cammy and I were discussing this. She's my critic. So I go over everything and say, hey, what do you think about it? Well, Cameron peeks up and starts asking a lot of questions about this. Yeah, but what? I didn't know what's being said. I don't. And I'll go into this a little bit deeper tonight. But when a message in tongues goes out, generally for me, this is just for me, 99% of the time, I immediately know that I'm supposed to give the interpretation. Okay? That doesn't mean that if somebody else starts out an interpretation that I won't bow out. Okay? However, I usually immediately know that I'm supposed to give the interpretation. Here's the crazy part about this. Here's the part that God is so amazing. Let me reword it like that.
Yeah.
It's not crazy. God is amazing. I usually have one or two words that I know that I'm supposed to say. And that is it. Everything else is completely, I'm just following the Spirit.
Right.
Whatever comes out is what God wants the church to hear.
Right.
Period.
Yes.
I do not have a script up there that I'm reading off of. It is completely Spirit-led.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
And a lot of times, after it's over, I feel so physically weak, I couldn't tell you what I said anyway. There is something that's very, very, and again, we can talk about that tonight, but I just want to plug that in right there. Remember, the purpose of the gift was for edification, or to build the church up and serve others. Even though there isn't as much said about interpretation of tongues, even though there's not much said about this gift, the interpretation of tongues is not the ability to understand the language that one has already learned. It's the supernatural ability to interpret a message for the body of Christ, and it's a gift from God.
Yes.
We also know that the gift of interpretation of tongues was to turn the congregation towards God and not the speaker.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you give a message in tongues, or you interpret a message in tongues, and the attention is all drawn to you, it's wrong.
Yep.
The purpose of tongues and interpretations was to draw the congregation away from the speaker and to God.
Yes.
Thus being reverent, we're quiet, we sit still, mm-hmm. we listen. Because it's a word from God.
Amen. Yes.
Okay? Yes, God uses pastors, whoever may be speaking to give us words. But there are also crucial times that we don't know who walks through those doors. And the gift of tongues interpretation can be effective and minister to people that we never know.
Right. Yes.
Amen. All right. Amen. Let me move. No, I'm going to go ahead. I've been up here too long, haven't I? I will hurry with this last one before we close. A few years ago, we had, and I asked Pastor if I could use this morning as an example. Some of you were here on a Sunday morning several years ago. We had a visiting lady come up to the front row. During praise and worship, she came up to the front and she began to very loudly speak in tongues, overwhelming everything else. She did not stop. She continued. Okay? Those of you remember? Some of you were here? Yes? She continued. And she continued. I had never been in a service, and because I was still at the piano, worship team was still up here. I had never been in a service to where something like that happened, and I was grasping at straws. So I yielded to the prophet, and pastor had to come over and say something to her. She was drawing so much attention to herself, and it was drawing away from God, that it was wrong. That doesn't mean that if I see this lady out in the public, I would know who she was if I saw her. But anyway, that I couldn't put my arm around her and love her.
Right.
But But she was not in God's will at the time.
Right.
I'm not judging her. Scripture already did that.
Right.
Everything has to be done decently and in order. Okay? So let me wrap this up. Now that I've scripturally discussed the background, the basis, and the purpose of tongues and interpretation, okay, we're going to talk specifically about practicality of it tonight. Like, how will I know? How will I know when I get a message? How will I know if I'm supposed to interpret? What's it going to sound like? What's it going to feel like? Maybe we'll have some questions, some personal experiences. But remember, the Holy Ghost just doesn't make you speak in tongues. It gives you power. It gives you boldness. And let me tell you, for the church to be alive and empowered and function as we need to in this day and age in which we live, we need it.
Yes, we do.
It is not something that should be feared. It's something that should be embraced.
Embraced, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Stand with me this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for the privilege that we have been in your house. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for a church body that wants to be alive and empowered and useful in this day and age in which we live. God, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for tongues and interpretation. But God, first I want to thank you that we're called to love, and I love each and every one here. Let us always keep that first and foremost in our hearts and in our minds. Let love dictate everything we do, God. God, and then everything else falls in place. We love you, Lord.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Give you glory. We give you praise. I ask that you'll be with each and every one this afternoon. Go with us. Bring us back this evening at 6 o'clock. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. And the church, give a big amen. And let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning.